Welcome to the City Life Lansing podcast. You are loved, you belong, and you have a unique purpose from God. You can connect with us at citylifelansing.com. You belong here. Here's today's message.
Good morning. Thank you for being here today. My name is Jerome. I get to serve as lead pastor here at City Life, and we are in one sense, closing a chapter today, but opening another one. This will be the last week for the B series, and today is titled Beware. If you've been a part of the B series up till this point, it's been amazing remembering that we're human beings. But I think there's also a warning when we're just drinking, which from God's inexhaustible supply and the lavishness of his goodness and his kindness and his mercy and his compassion towards us, and we're in the scriptures and we're realizing who we are in Jesus. But to follow Jesus means there's gonna come times on the journey when we're on the path where there's a crossroad, there's intersection. And Jesus is going one way, and we assume, well, he's with me, and I'm going this way. And it can be a grave mistake, because we can look back and, one, find ourselves in a dead end, and look back and be like, where's Jesus? Well, he does not lose one of his sheep. That's good news. He who began a work will see it through to completion, absolutely. But I think the warning I hope to convey today is this. We love that Jesus completed once as the lamb, and now we want the lion if we aren't careful in four P's. We love the power of God. We love the provision of God. We love the protection of God, and we love the pastoring of God. But don't get it twisted. Jesus went a path of suffering that now we, as Holy Week begins, Passion Week begins, are looking forward, the lamentation side of the cross before it's met with celebration of victory. There's a lot of anguish. There's a lot of pain. It's dark. And a mistake we can make is just to assume, well, if Jesus did it once, I don't have to suffer. I'm not going to be hated. He loves me. God loves me. Yes, he does love you, but the enemy hates you. And sometimes God will allow suffering to take place for his glory. So to think of the contrast of the lamb versus the lion, it is completely opposite, but yet fully true in both cases. And when Jesus returns, he's going to come back on a horse, signifying judgment, position of complete authority with force and finality, that it's over. And in that case, though, that's judgment moment now beginning. And every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord, period, because of who he is. But he enters Palm Sunday, not on a horse, but on a donkey. And I am challenged this season to remember that, because there's a part of my flesh that would love to think it's horse time, to think it's lion time. And that's not to mean we're gonna be pushovers, we always have to take the small side, or we're not gonna work for justice and to see great systems and structure and power and pastoring and protection and all of God's ultimate. But friends, we're in the in-between, and this world hated Jesus. We must beware. So beware of what? Beware of your way. Be not wise in your own way. Travel the Jesus way. Something we try to teach our children, and first I have to teach myself, is this. Anytime I hear about a situation, it could be a problem, it could be even a news article or position that I'm seeing. It could have been a tabloid, it could be something locally or globally, is when we get one piece of the information, our brain starts to then fill in the gap and be like, I know the answer to that, I'm right. Well, a discipline we're trying to teach our family and model myself is this. Not out of shame, but first, I am wrong. And by assuming that, it actually allows me to zoom back out and say, woohoo, let me see the picture. I need more of the information. I need wisdom. I need knowledge beyond my own understanding. I need a viewpoint that's beyond me. So to assume today that we are right, that God is always on our path, I believe, especially in our context in America, is a huge warning. Beware. Matthew 21, verse 5. The triumphal entry, Jesus is about to begin of how his ultimate victory is going to take place. Tell daughter Zion, fulfilling prophecy, going back to the Old Testament, see, your king is coming to you, which is so powerful because kings, normally you have to go to them. That's an observation. With all power, all ability to protect, all ability to pastor, and all ability to provide. Well, normally, who has the most power, you come to them. And what do? You grovel, you petition, you play the game so you can get paid, you ask for a mere request, oh, king, help me, you know. And we aren't in so-called kings today, but we still have kings today. Anyone that is in rule or power or has authority. And authority is of God, so we're not to shame those that are in charge. But those that are ultimately in charge must all remember, every one of us in the room, for any authority or power we have, we give an account to God. Because he's the king. So since he's the king, he's not actually a lowercase K, he's the capital K, he's the king of kings. Imagine getting all the kings in a room with all their accolades and all their trophies and all their spoils of war and all their jewels and all their riches and all their accolades and accomplishments and just being like, when Jesus walks into the room and comes to you, all those kings bow. This is key to understand because as Jesus enters this week, the king is coming to you, me, you. And if I'm a king, this is where it starts to go against my flesh in my way. My default setting isn't to be gentle, but yet Jesus, being king, is coming to you gentle and mounted on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did just as Jesus directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt. So now here's the prophecy being fulfilled. Then they laid their clothes on them, and he sat on them. And then a very large crowd, this is where I want us to beware, a very large crowd. Because when Jesus is in, and this isn't to knock Kanye West, we actually referenced him a few years ago when he was doing the Sunday services, and I believe God was using him then, and God is still pursuing him now. But since there's been a change, and back then, there was just this like public excitement in the church. Man, did you know like Kanye's out there preaching and teaching and reaching, you know, and what can happen is when a celebrity gets saved, we start to now think Jesus is more valuable subconsciously. And we get excited a little bit. We're like, oh, dude, God's moving. The crowd, did you see the crowds at church, yo? Easter Sunday, the place was packed. You know? And if you've been around city life enough, there's actually a pattern. We always lean in about this time of year. And then after, next week, we'll be celebratory. It's going to be awesome. I was saved on Easter Sunday, wasn't even invited to church. So it's my born-again day. I'm going to celebrate a birthday next week. I hope you invite people to hear the good news of Jesus. But on the other side, you know, of that, lose your life and you'll find it is also a deep cost. To die daily, die to self. So the crowds, though, being it can even represent all of us, but specifically then, where they're excited about this king that's going to bring some power. It's going to bring ultimate pastoring, provision, and protection. Because the context to this crowd is the children of Israel are God's chosen people, and they're not in rule. So you can imagine when you're being suppressed and put down and you're in a lower bracket than those around you, when you have the birthright to be on top, there's a level of, oh, wow, here comes Rocky, you know, going to do it for us. Here comes the hero in every movie that we've ever seen. It's like, it's going to happen. We're going to win. So this is what's going on. They spread their clothes on the roads. Others were cutting branches with trees and spreading them on the road. Then the crowds who went ahead of him, those who followed, shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. For a lot of my life, I always believe Hosanna was like an act of adoration or worship. Like, oh, here comes the Son of David, the real king, Jesus. It's probably more accurate that Hosanna means this, that they're praying, save us. Save us. Heal us. Oh, the king's here. Let us out. Get us out of prison. Get out of jail free card now. Beware, because God's not on our timeline still today. Even though he lives, he's resurrected, he's alive, absolutely. But the way Jesus went to the cross, as followers of Jesus, still we are called to pick up our cross daily, die daily. And I wrestled with this. It's kind of like, man, what a buzzkill, Pastor. You know, we've been talking about being chill all quarter. Yeah, but let's be real. There's seasons to things. You know, there's a time to plant. There's a time to water. There's a time to harvest. There's harvest work. And one of this to calibrate our souls along the way to say, am I just in the crowd shouting, save me? But when he doesn't do it my way, how do I respond in those moments? So blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Here is the Savior coming to save us. And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in an uproar saying, who is this? The crowds were saying, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. Now, spoiler alert, these same crowds, same people would have been just like us, where eventually these crowds are yelling, not Hosanna, but they're yelling what? Crucify him. And we read it and we observe then, but there's a weight that I always feel, because knowing that I would be just like that, the one who can save me from sin, that I miss it, clouded, because I want the on top version to show up. I want the king in a power or prestigious way to show up, protection and provide and change the whole system now, Jesus. But yet his upside down kingdom to lose is quite foreign to our life. John 14:6 says this, Jesus said to him, because I think at some level we're all here on a Sunday gathering or tuning in, and we either are intrigued about Jesus as the way, or we've said that we believe this statement. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So if we're continuing this analogy to be on a way or a path or a road with Jesus, that I don't get to get in unless I'm understanding it's through and with Jesus. Well, of course I want to get to the Father. If the Father made me, the Father is forever, the Father is good. And this is that heaven mindset, like, I don't want hell, I want heaven. And so fine, if Jesus is the only way, but there's way more to that. Yes, save me, but the Lord side of it. The Lord's, he's the Lord. So if he's the way, the truth, and the life, how does he lead? Well, let Proverbs 14 be a warning to us, beware. There's a way that seems, 14:12, there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. There's a way that I think I'm right, and it seems right. Like, oh, that seems right. But we're wrong. Sometimes when you watch the game film, it's fascinating being a parent, because you get to see what you're like. And when they recall the stories that I was there and a part of and have pictures, and when they start, I walk into a conversation, remember when this happened? And then Crystal and I can be like, that didn't happen. It was as funny as one of the kids were saying they got stitches in a place on their body that never happened. And then I start thinking, because they're so convinced that I must be wrong. I must be wrong. And I'm like, am I wrong? I'm like, no, I was in the hospital with them. I think he was like 4 years old. There's no way he's right. And they were like, I got the scar to prove it. And then the other kid said, yeah, that's what happened. And I thought there's a way that seems right to man. Now, it wasn't death per se, but we had the footage. We had receipts. So we pulled it up and said, no. And in fact, it's actually on your head where your hair is no longer there and you have a scar. That's where it's at. And we're like, oh, man. You know, they laugh. There's a way that seems right to me. There's a way that seems right to you. But its end is the way to death when it's not Jesus' way. So beware. We all have a choice. When we're confronted with, when we don't feel we like what's happening, and I think the ultimate litmus test is this: when I don't get what I want, or God's not handling the equation as I think or feel he should, I want to now eject or abort, and I want to now blame. And it will happen so quick. We get frustrated. God, you really want me to forgive? You really want me to bless when people curse? You really want me to wash feet when they come with stones? I thought that was just for you. It's not. Beware. There's a song that's been ministering to my soul. If you're on the Dream Team, you got this email yesterday from Caitlin on behalf of me from the creative team. And this song has been making me weep. The version of it is by, it's titled The Jesus Way by Phil Wickham. And the version I've been listening to is the hometown version that dropped this week. And here's the lyrics. If you curse me, then I will bless you. If you hurt me, I will forgive. And if you hate me, then I will love you. I choose the Jesus way. If you're helpless, I will defend you. If you're burdened, I'll share the weight. If you're hopeless, then let me show you. There's hope in the Jesus way. I follow Jesus. I follow Jesus. He wore my sin. I'll gladly wear his name. He is the treasure. He is the answer. Oh, I choose the Jesus way. And before I read verse 3, let's not assume that we're right and we'll always choose the Jesus way. It's easy to say it until it happens. And it means re-signing up all the time. If you strike me, I will embrace you. And if you chain me, I'll sing his praise. And if you kill me, my home is heaven, for I choose the Jesus way. 1 Peter 4, verse 1 says, since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same way of thinking. For whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live for the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for human passions, but for the will of God. My flesh has a passion that's contrary to God's will. And my spirit is willing, but my flesh is weak. Verse 3, for the time that is past suffices for doing what the Gentiles want to do, living in sensuality, passions, drunkenness, orgies, drinking parties, and lawless idolatry. With respect to this, they are surprised when you do not join them in the same flood of debauchery. and they malign you. You know, when you choose the Jesus way, it will make people uncomfortable at some point. There's a quote, I believe it's Steve Jobs. If you want to be liked, don't be a leader, sell ice cream. If you want to be liked, don't follow Jesus. But if you want an ultimate like and an ultimate approval and an ultimate love, may we be people that learn from the pandemic that it wasn't the world that was concerning. It was the way the sheep scattered. How quick we were like, you know? And I don't say that to shame us. It's in all of us. There's a deep wrestle when things don't go our way. Verse 5, but they will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. Beware. For this is why the gospel was preached even to those who are dead, which is quite the Bible study for another day. That though, judged in the flesh the way people are, they might live in the spirit the way God does. And another passage to reinforce that Jesus' way is not always happy-go-lucky. Look at John 15, verse 18. If the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as one of its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. This is one of the things that compelled me to re-sign up for Jesus, is how he's hated, debated, but yet celebrated. And yet he came to his own death party on a donkey to go ride to something he didn't do, to pay a sentence that we all deserve. A tab that was infinite in numbers, and yet he paid everything for it. And that I, in faith, by grace, can be completely canceled of that debt and forgiven and be made brand new in him. I'm like, one of my friends said it this way, even if that wasn't real, that's my favorite story of all time. That would be the best story. That you get everything for free and yet you owe everything. And he laid down his life willingly and peacefully. He could call the legions of angels to come on his behalf. We want to pick up the sword quick, and justify and use like God cards and weird scripture and play theologian and gymnastics when things don't go our way. Beware. And I thought, wow, they hate Jesus. Why? The news is so good. So good. So it's key to remember, though. It's okay. These same crowds that said, Hosanna, save us, when it didn't go the way, crucify. So it might not always go our way. People might not always like us, but we want to be with him. And remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. But all these things that they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me, the Father. And not to beat a drum, but just a couple more times. We like being on the winning team, not the losing one. We like going into Good Friday knowing that Sunday's coming. And Sunday is coming. But Palm Sunday, a week long of profound moments in a timeline in the Jesus way, and so many different sub-stories going on and key characters introduced into the story in a timeline we're just going to look at in just a moment. But then on the journey, the path, the Jesus way, it eventually leads Jesus to praying in the garden. And in this place of crushing, olive press, his soul going to be crushed so much to anguish that his sweat, all the blood vessels in his own skin is bursting, and it becomes blood. And he brings his three homies to that place. The three closest disciples, come with me. And he just tells them this little thing. Just, can you stay awake? Because I'm about to go to the cross for your sin. And he's so grieved by it, being fully God but fully man, saying, there's got to be another way. There's got to be another way. There's got to be another will. There's got to be. Let this cup pass three times. You remember the story maybe? And if not, we're going to read it in just a moment. And he tells the disciples just a simple thing. Just do this way and just stay awake. So here's a little timeline. You can go check this out. Tech, we're going to skip the Bible Project video. For those that want to go do a little homework, you can Google Passion Week or Palm Sunday Bible Project, and there's a video that illustrates this point. But for time's sake, in the spirit of what I sense in this room, is we're going to keep going. We're going to skip that. So here's a timeline that Bible Gateway offers on their website, and it gives us the beginning of Holy Week or Passion Week. And in this, I'm going to pull it up so I can see it clear in my world. You get to kind of see the, not kind of, you get to see the story, and you get to see scriptures that you can go to and read the different gospel accounts that are allowing us to see the full picture of what on Sunday, where two disciples borrow a coat that moves into the triumphal entry and now introduces the crowd, which you have the Jewish leaders a part of that crowd, moves into Monday, and then as we would know, Jesus overthrows the tables in the temple, as we would think is a madman. You know, you think, I've heard preachers say it this way, it's, you think a kid's ministry, you know, the kids come home with their like a little coloring they offer to the parents, and it's like, what'd you learn today in Kid City? And it's like, you know, Jesus is smiling, Jesus is my friend. And well, the temple story wouldn't always be good to show our kids without context, because Jesus is, if you watch Dude Perfect, it's the rage master. Jesus just goes rage master. He's just with a whip getting everybody, the Father's house should be a place of prayer, and you made it a den of thieves. And so there's a cleansing of the temple, and you have the fig tree, you have the temple debate moving into Tuesday. You have the Olivet Discourse, and then we're moving into Wednesday, Thursday, and now we're preparing the upper room, moving into the Last Supper. And in that, you have Judas has agreed to betray Jesus, and Jesus confronts Judas, and Judas leaves the Last Supper. Then, almost into Friday now, Jesus is going to pray. And he brings James, Peter, and John. And in this, I love this timeline. You can like zoom in online or on your phone later. You'll see all of these different ways, but you'll see one story that goes through it all, and it's Jesus. Where every other story fails. Every other story is met with disappointment. And even the disciples, because we can be so clouded by our desire to have power or to be on top, especially when we've experienced a level of freedom and to have that taken away. Like if you were in charge and you're not in charge anymore, so the children of Israel know their rightful place in the story of the world, that there's this level of now, Jesus, come on. So the disciples are even there. If you go back and you think about how they're thinking where the kingdom's gonna come, they're already thinking, well, who gets to be the captain? Who gets to be right now? Who's gonna be at the right hand? And who's gonna win? And how are we gonna do this? And he had been telling them, look, that's not how. Because the desire to have clouds our judgment, that our way can get off. Beware. So Jesus takes James, Peter, and John, and now reading what takes place in the garden. Verse 36 out of Matthew 26. Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he told the disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." Taking along Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. He said to them, "I'm deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and stay awake with me." Going a little farther, he fell face down and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." Then he came to his disciples and he found them sleeping. He asked Peter, "So you couldn't stay awake with me 1 hour? Stay awake and pray, so that you won't enter temptation. The spirit is willing. Assume you're wrong, but the flesh is weak." Don't trust your yes in that moment. Don't trust what you feel in that moment. Trust the words of the Lord right in front of our face. Stay awake. Verse 42, again, a second time, he went away and prayed, "Father, if this cannot pass, unless I drink it, your will be done." And he came again and he found them sleeping because they could not keep their eyes open. In verse 44, after leaving them, he went away again and prayed a third time, saying the same thing once more. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? See, the time is near. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let's go. See, my betrayer is near." And we see the response of Jesus versus the response of us in that moment. We sleep, he's awake, his way is much different of how he's going to become king. The lamentations on the front side of the cross is eventually next Sunday met with celebration, absolutely. But it was the same crowds that shouted, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the Son of David." Later were the same crowds that said, "Crucify him, crucify him, crucify him." And going all the way back to the garden of where sin entered this world from the disobedience of Adam. Through one man, sin came, but through one man, sin was defeated, being Jesus. So on that tree that Adam and Eve ate, Jesus goes to get hung on a tree, not to just die and be crucified, but to take the punishment for all of sin, the darkest hour that's ever existed, the cup of wrath, the ultimate judgment for every past, present, and future sin until the Lord returns. And so even when we say Good Friday, Friday's only good because we know about Sunday. And here's a video to help lead us this week to beware of our own way and to be on the path with Jesus that leads us to Good Friday. And we're going to have a service at noon. Check this out. So next Friday, online, and then after that, on demand, but at noon, maybe you already put that, as soon as you get to work this week, and put that test your lunch hour, you know? Because we might think to go eat, while he's just hanging there. And then even the disciples, which I'm constantly trying to communicate that we would be in that same crowd. They're licking their wounds. Like, oh, we lost. Jesus is gone. They're grieving, you know? But the theme this year at City Life is victory. And oh, death, where's your sting? But it's understanding that what death brings, grief unthinkable, which then should lead to celebration unthinkable, uncontrollable. And wherever if he's Savior, then he's Lord. And wherever he goes, if that means that times we're hated or times we'll suffer or times we lack or times we got to forgive or suck up our pride, then so be it. It's a choice to choose the Jesus way. It's a choice to calibrate my calendar to choose the Jesus way. It's a choice to get in the scriptures. It's a choice to detox from the world. It's a choice to change our friends groups. It's a choice to start acting like Jesus. And this is not a works message. There's only one finished work on the cross, but at some level, there is a choice. A choice to say, no, I'm not going with you down that path. Nope. Why? Are you judging me? That's always the funny. Like, are you judging me? No, I'm not judging you, but we should rightly divide. And of course, rightly divide the word of truth, but also in life, you're always judging. We're not called, when it says judge not, that's meaning for ultimate, final judgment of who could come into heaven. But it calls us to call out sin. It calls us to, you know, correct one another. And how do we do that gently? But we're judging every day. We're judging the distance of a stop sign when we pull up. We don't want somebody, you know, if they're driving on the wrong side of the road and something tragic happens and they get out of the car and be like, yo, you're judging me. I don't want to be in the judgment of this world, right? Well, that's what happens when we're choosing our way. Like, you're judging me. No, that's just wrong. It's just evil. And that's okay. Proverbs says this, an open rebuke is better than hidden love. So if somebody corrects you, they love you more than somebody who says they love you but don't even tell you. That a rebuke is better. So I'm hoping that the body of Christ is so desperate for Christ that we want not just his resurrection, but to know him in his suffering, the crucifixion, to die to self, die to our flesh, die to what is foreign, which means I have to stop along the way and say, where am I not lined up? I want to choose your way, which is why this song's been ministering to me. So the question we're going to end with today is this, before Tina leads us and ministers to us with the Jesus Way song again, is this. What way or will are you traveling that Jesus is just not? And if he's not, beware. What way, will, my way, are you, am I, traveling that Jesus is not? Because be careful sometimes when you get advice. Misery loves company, y'all. And sometimes the body of Christ, in the spirit of empathy, in the spirit of loving and safe space, they'll just co-sign on death and will foster unforgiveness. We'll foster laziness, complacency. We'll start to make it okay to be like, yo, everybody's dealing with sin. No. Get back to, I think it was Andy Mineo, way back in the day. I don't remember his, Sea Light was his name before he became self-titled artist of Reach Records. He had a campaign. It was like a hate sin. What was it? Anyone in the crowd, it was Tori and Devin might know this. It was just like, sin is horrible. That's what the shirts were. I hate sin. Sin is whack. There you go. Sin is whack. I think there is a little bit of like, because this whole Jesus, be with Jesus thing that like, you know, we don't really call it out anymore. So I just want us to beware. And it's okay to say, you know what? I could be wrong. We're not defined by our mistakes. We are covered by grace, but as a body of Christ, let's not think that we wouldn't be sleeping, caught sleep while he's going to die for our sin, the Jesus way. If you curse me, then I'll bless you. If you hurt me, I will forgive. And if you hate me, then I will love you. I choose the Jesus way. If you're helpless, I will defend you. If you're burdened, I'll share the weight. If you're hopeless, then let me show you there's hope in the Jesus way. I follow Jesus. I follow Jesus. He wore my sin. I'll gladly wear his name. And if there's a day where Jesus isn't cool enough to be in Lansing, we're choosing Jesus. He's the treasure. He's the answer. Oh, I choose the Jesus way. If you strike me, I'll embrace you. If you chain me, I'll sing his praise. And if you kill me, my home is heaven, for I choose the Jesus way. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your love and compassion for us, and ultimately to fulfill and love the Father, the oneness that you have with the Father. That though the crowd was right in a triumphal entry, they missed it. And we can miss it with our pride, with the flesh screaming for power, screaming to be pastored, that every moment would feel amazing as we define it, or to be protected, to be safe, and to be provided for. But God, even as the act of fasting, it denies our flesh to let us know that this world is temporary. I pray in this moment that we would deny everything that would stop us from choosing the Jesus way. And as this song is sung, I pray in the depths of our soul that if there's someone we need to forgive, if there's someone we need to bless, if there's I'm sorry that needs to be said, we would choose the Jesus way. Holy Spirit, I ask that for each one of us, you will make it clear for what is in our life that we're not choosing your way. Will you bring it out to light? You don't bring it out to light to condemn us, but to convict us, to change. And so we open up our hearts right here, right now. Have your way. Let your will be done.
If you kill me, my heart.
His way is life. You're here today and you're like, I want to choose Jesus. You can go to the Connect Center, tell somebody, you say yes to Jesus, or online. Choose Jesus. Don't delay. Why wait? We'll see you online Friday at noon. We're on demand for those who work the third shift. And then next Sunday for Easter Sunday, Jesus Our Victory. 10 a.m. and 11:30, all races, all faces, and all ages, you belong here. We're going to keep loving the city one life at a time. And we won't stop until He makes all things new. Have the best day of your lives.
Choose forgiveness. Oh, I choose.